Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome to today's Spotlight On. Today, buckle your seatbelts, put your tray in its upright position. I am in studio with the TBS series of Wrecked, the cast members. Join me with Zach Kreger, Brooke Dillman, Jessica Lowe. We'll talk about the show. We'll talk about deserted islands. We'll talk about Fiji. Don't go away.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, now it's your chance.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. We've already won.
The game is over. You get $1 million and you go home now.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you for joining. Hey, AfterBuzzers, thank you so much for joining us today. I am in studio with the cast of the TBS show Wrecked. They are all about airplane crashes, excitement, and comedy. So first, let's get started introducing everyone. Sitting directly to my left is Jessica Lowe. Jessica, where can everyone find you on social media?
On Twitter, I'm Megalomaniac, L-O-W-E in the middle. And on Instagram, I'm Jess Marlowe.
And sitting directly to her left is Zach Kreger.
Hello. Hi. I'm at Z Kreger.
And sitting to his left is Brooke Dillman.
Brooke Dillman, you can't find me anywhere, but you can find my dog at Ernie Fat Dog on Instagram.
Well, there
He's
we go.
A star.
And I am your host, Zoe Hewitt. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RealZoeHewitt. Now, we talked about tray tables and their upright position. Your show is this great comedy that is all about people getting stranded, but not like the people you might want to get stranded with, right? Everyone's just a little bit quirky.
Yeah.
What did you think when you first read the script, Brooke?
Oh, I loved it. And my character, I was like, I must have this. I would have murdered for that part of Karen. I'm not kidding. I was like, this is what the character I want to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, truly, it's one of the greatest characters ever written, in my opinion.
And your character, for anyone who doesn't know, you're a vice president of a company that's like a Google, right?
Yes, Bing.
Yes.
And she's...
I didn't want to product place
Bing
that name.
Is like, we don't even need to say its name anymore.
Yeah.
It's like... Is it lost to the annals of history?
But no, but she's positive that Bing is going to kick Google's ass right out of the competition. You know?
Absolutely.
And yeah, she is just, and so she lands on this island. You don't see her for 3 days after the plane crash, and then she shows up and she's killed a wild boar
covered
with her bare hands, covered in blood, and she just goes into survival mode, and she's ready.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you need when you're stuck on an island.
Yeah, they need me. Well, that's the problem. I'm an offensive person, but they need to keep me around because I bring the food.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, you're like the Terminator, but yeah.
Yeah.
Providing Terminator.
Yes.
And Zach, you're the only remaining crew member as a flight attendant, right?
Almost. There is another crew member that comes in and out of our story, but... If you saw the first season, she Rosa, my superior, comes in briefly. But yes, I'm a flight attendant and not a happy one. Owen's kind of a would you say he's a dick?
I would. I would
Brilliant.
Say, but I would say he's also sometimes the voice of reason. Mm-hmm. He can rouse us with a speech, and yeah, I think that he has a more realistic mindset as far as like our survival. He wanted to, when we found a big piece of fabric, he wanted to make a sail so we could get off that damn island, and we're like, no, this is sort of crazy and great. We should just keep killing each other.
Owen has a little bit more of a 1 foot in reality than I think a lot of the other folks on the island. So,
yes. And I think you're thriving the most. All of us are
also
dying.
Also, arguably the farthest from reality.
Yes.
So what does that mean?
Yeah.
Your rationale is kind of worthless in these situations.
It means opposites attract, and y'all should make out.
Well, that does.
All right. Okay.
That might happen.
Oh, you mean in the show. You don't
and there we go. We mean right here. We mean in the show. Whatever.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Now, Jessica, your character was on a trip with her best friend who had just been admitted to medical school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're also like a little bit of a feminist who wants to use a lot of language to sort of get around things, right?
Yeah, I'm sort of like an older generation's nightmare, sort of an example of why millennials are idiots and problems. I have a lot to say, but I have nothing to stand on. I'm obsessed with social media, but I don't want to be, you know, tied to things. I just, yeah, she's sort of an idiot, and I love playing her.
And you and Brooke had such a fun scene in last night's episode, and a lot of, like, gore, too.
Yeah.
What was that? I assume not real intestines.
No. Our props this year were so fun.
Amazing.
And this woman likes pigs more than anyone in the world, so it's truly ironic that she keeps having to pretend to kill them and be covered in their blood and
disembowel
such like that.
Them and stab them repeatedly, and it's just, I love pigs.
She really does.
It is.
I think it was like corn syrup and like red food dye, stuff like that. Uh-huh. But they were like, you can put it on your face, but it's probably going to stain. So
They said that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Why would I put it on my face then?
Well, you had to put it on your face.
Yeah, I had to put it on my face.
Did it stain?
It did,
yeah. Slightly, yes. But
so
that's
fine. Did makeup the next day have to do extra to cover it up?
Sure. Just my
exfoliate the
Who would bring this substance to a television show?
Right. Like, it was really fun to put it on my face, and I've never felt so badass. That's one thing I love about the show is, like, the dirtier I get, the better I feel I look. I just want to be, like, just covered in dirt.
Yeah, I feel like that works on all of us.
Yeah.
You ever watch Survivor? By the end of... I don't know if anyone here does.
Oh, this one.
I watch it too much. But it's funny. At the end of Survivor, everyone is, like, gaunt and filthy and, like, just their bodies have eaten themselves.
Stunning.
And then they cut to the finale where it's, like, 3 months later and they're back in L.A. and everyone looks terrible.
Yeah.
Because
they're, like, healthy and bloated.
Dude,
and, like,
that's how I feel
terrible.
Right now. We've been back for, like, approximately that amount of time.
Yeah.
I've been just binging on, like, different shows and just eating Skinny Pop popcorn on my...
Tater tots and Diet Coke and
I'm just
wine.
I'm bloated and no longer in survivor mode.
Until next season.
Until next season.
Now, I think that also with shows like this, where you think, oh, everyone's just sort of dirty, you don't think about a lot of, like, wardrobe and hair and makeup, but it takes a lot of work to actually look like you've just wound up on an island.
Yes.
Right. So do you go in, like... do your best to make me look worse, guys. Like, what happens when you step into the makeup trailer?
Well, this year especially, SPF was crucial because we all suffered that first day. I told my managers, I was like, I think I'm only going to go in for tanning salon owners in Florida in their mid-40s from now on, because it was just 100% unfiltered. I guess Fiji is right in the middle of an ozone hole.
Yeah. I did not know
later.
That can't be right.
Yes,
I think that's what we heard. We can Google it.
There's just a hole in the ozone over
Fiji.
What's Google?
Yes.
And it stays there.
Yes.
Yeah. Why would the atmosphere do that?
I'm going to Google
there's
it.
I think you need to bang it. In Australia, they have to wear, the kids are required by law to wear sunscreen swimsuits because of the ozone.
Well, Grant, I don't know how the ozone works. I guess this is becoming more and more obvious, but it seems like it would be a mobile. The ozone
we're
is,
ozone scientists.
Yeah.
Okay, right,
yes. But anyways, we got such severe sunburns. Everyone who came to visit is like, oh, I'm Mediterranean. I got Mediterranean skin. I don't burn. And like, they all burned. Everyone got
instantly.
Horrible
yeah.
burns.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing for a middle-aged woman to spend that much time in the sun. I'm just so happy that my face could endure that.
Also, 30-somethings. It's no, regardless, it's terrible for the longevity of our careers.
So when you guys were filming, so Fiji's below the equator. So you guys were there, what, April, March, April, May-ish.
Yes.
So it was actually going from super hot to colder, you know, as the weather changed, right? So that first day, you guys were...
And let's not say super hot to colder. Let's say super hot to hot.
Yes.
Very hot.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I thought at the beginning was the hottest day. And
that's
the worst
right.
day.
It was.
People were dropping like flies.
So super
Asif
hot.
Asif vomited from the heat. He had to be removed from set. It was... Mm-hmm. It was
mm-hmm. Hazard pay.
The Fijians were hot.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, they're like, this is horrible. We've never felt like this.
We had a bunch of New Zealand and Aussie crew members, and they've all worked on big-time war movies, and they were like, Yeah, we didn't. I'm not going to do the accent. We
just try it. Just try it.
Hey, today.
We didn't want to say it in the beginning, but yeah, that was like harder than a lot of our war films.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
Eat big sticky.
Oh, my God.
Whenever I have to try and do an accent, I just try and imitate Reese.
Yeah.
Know? Oh, it was hot.
All you got to do is go up three octaves. And back and in that your helps throat. A lot.
I'm doing Rachel O'Brien.
Who's that?
Our second.
Oh, right.
The one who was getting a piece of fish. What was she
stepped on a sea urchin?
Can we cuss on this show?
Go for it.
Oh, yeah, okay. She was the most Australian person I've ever seen in my life.
You said, I think at one point she turned into a kangaroo.
She stepped on like an urchin.
A sea urchin. And she had the spine in her heel.
Ooh, like,
we all went on this boat trip that was so fun. We had two boats. And like she was on like the boat where she was going to make us a bunch of her famous margaritas. So anyways, we all go out. She gets a horrible sea urchin spine in her heel. And then I see her shaking a margarita with a lit cigarette cutting out of her mouth, putting the lighter under a needle and doing it
and
herself.
Digging it out herself.
And going like, pull the fucker out!
Just fucking give her it! It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
That's so... It's funny because the stereotypes of Australians is dead on.
They're so fun,
everything
but they
that
are
you imagine
nuts.
Is white.
So you guys were in paradise in Fiji, but do you feel like you've toughened up a little bit? Between supposedly being left on a desert island and working with people who can do things like pull urchins out of their own feet?
For me, no. Not at all.
Not tougher.
No, I complain more than anything.
I would go running every day. I like to run. So I'd go out on this dirt road and I'd run. And I feel I hit I was stampeded by a herd of cattle at one point coming
not
down.
Not true. Also, that's
absolutely
not
true.
Stampeded? Or a cow walked towards you and then moved and walked away?
Wow. No. It's true.
There was a man.
The word stampeded
cattle
means you were run over by a herd of cattle.
They
Is that what happened?
For me.
She was Mufasa.
At top speed. This
right.
man was herding them.
Right.
I'm running down the road. There's cows completely across the road running toward me with horns, and I just stop, and the guy goes, "You'll be fine." And I just had to hope. I went up against a barbed wire fence and stood like this. Until
and what happened?
There was a cow.
There was a cow. We're getting closer to the truth. There was a cow.
No.
And it did walk towards Brooke.
You know what? I'm
and
so angry.
And then the man
angry
said, "You'll be fine." And then he was right.
Zach, I need to see you outside.
Sure.
I need to step outside and speak
was
to you.
Was the man wrong? Were you not fine? Did the cow trample you or stampede you,
I'm
however
so
you
upset with
said
you
it?
I'm so mad. He hates my stories.
Well, they're not
That's
stories.
Just what it comes
That's
down
the
to
first problem.
Tell a story. The story.
I hate her ramblings.
I was steaming. All the other cows had gone the other way, and there was one cow that almost literally
now
hit me.
We're
it was
closer to the
as
truth
you
of
are.
It.
And he went, but I was fine, which you don't care about.
I care.
I know you're fine because, first of all, I've heard this rambling like 5 times.
But it's the first
time. And also, like, you didn't, the cow didn't hit you. The guy said, "You'll be fine." He was right. But that's not the end of your story.
Well, speaking of him saying you'll be fine, you guys actually studied some of the Fijian language as well, right? So you two, both Jessica and Brooke, were brushing up on different words that might be helpful.
Yes.
So what were some of the words that you were working on?
Well, I think it's important to learn, like, thank you, how are you, you look beautiful. I would basically learn how to hit on people. and it's proved to be very useful.
They're erecting a statue of Jessica in Suva.
Basically, a way to be like, hey, you're hot, like whatever, like to yell at someone. But normally it's from the male perspective. I switch that bitch. Mm-hmm. And so guys would always go, "Udo," and that means like you're hot or like I wanna, yeah. So I would do it to them and it got their attention and it got me some free drinks.
I love her little giggle.
Wait, but this one, I was trying to get a bunch before I was on a mission to just learn how to just slay in Fiji. This one was like, okay, how? Because she was very proud and had the best time at the Women's March,
Washington D.C.
So she wanted to learn how to say "pussy hat."
Yep.
I can't remember now. Do you remember how to say it?
But no.
I learned.
I blocked it out.
Urumanga. Urumanga.
Yes.
That's right.
And the best part is...
Resist. Urumanga.
And you were saying that to some of the crew members, mm-hmm. right?
And they were like, oh, no. Someone is playing a trick on you. That's... What do you think you're saying? And she was like... pussy hat. And they were like, oh, yeah, that is what you're saying.
And I was like, right on, January 21st, you know, we did it.
And they're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. She goes, okay, you know the women's marches, okay, you get that? And they're like, yeah, of course, we heard about that. She was like, and pussy hats. And they're like, no.
Fiji is a very borderline puritanical country. First of all, it's a military dictatorship, which I think is interesting, but also it's like... We shipped all our props over from season one, which we shot in Puerto Rico, and so customs is looking through. You're not allowed to have sex toys in Fiji. That's how strict they are and how, you know, morally sensitive they are. And they open our boxes, and in season one, we have a box of dildos and sex swings and pocket pussies and all those sorts of things.
So
the first box customs opened up is just a crate of sex toys.
It
and they're
just
like, what kind of show
box.
Have you brought to our island? Yeah. So.
And so they had to go through everything with a fine-tooth comb after that. They were like, another wrecked box.
Yeah. I never received my Easter basket from my mom because customs would not allow it through.
The customs officials loved eating your chocolate.
No. They got the candy. Well, someone got the candy. That's
nice.
Yeah,
I hope so.
I know.
You've got to spread the candy around.
Yeah. You got to spread the candy around.
So you guys have such interesting and diverse characters, and that's one of the interesting things with the show, too, that all of you are such, you know, they wouldn't be the people who you would see on Lost who are like, yes, we've got it right. You guys are like the ones who are right, like, in the background. That would have been the, that's the description I've seen that the creators have even said, like, this idea. So what do you think you have in common with your characters, if anything?
I mean, I'm totally unsuited for a survival situation, so I've got that down with Owen. I honestly, if you dropped me in the middle of the woods, I would be dead in 2 days. I don't know how to do anything.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, I'm the same. I have no survival instinct. Yeah. I would just fall to the ground and wait for birds to peck my eyes out. And also, I couldn't kill anything because I love animals. I really couldn't go get food. I'd be like, well.
You're barely a pescatarian. You would just
even that, I'm like, I don't think.
You'd
I
want prefer a Ritz cracker.
Yeah. Or a tater tot.
And a tater... Oh, tater tots is her number one. If she could survive on tater tots and Diet Coke, she would.
Well, that's my execution meal. If I'm ever going to be executed, I'm tater tots and Diet Coke.
I really like that that's something you've planned out. Zach, do you have an execution meal, too?
Tater tots and Diet Coke. It's the same thing.
And then good night.
Me, too.
Sayonara. It's been nice.
Me, too. What?
Twinsies.
Let's commit a crime together.
Now, all of your characters, everyone's sort of lying on the show. We've got, like, the police officer, right, who's found the gun. So have you established anything in your own backstories that hasn't actually come out on the show, but that you sort of think in the back of your mind your character has going on?
Ooh. I like these questions. Yeah. I mean, I also don't feel like we can answer these questions, though, because that you're basically asking for spoilers.
Yes. No, not at all.
Is there something? The secret of Karen's gets revealed in future episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So I wasn't asking for a real secret. I was thinking something like, you know, sometimes actors are like, oh, I made up this backstory where my character is involved.
Oh, those are real actors with a process.
We don't work that way. Big-time idiots. I like to think that I was like an astrophysics major who just found it was easier to talk like this and like sort of be stupid. Like, because it's, I think it's like an intelligent move to like get exactly what I want. I'm a third wave feminist and I'm using my wiles to get what I want rather than work hard.
A third wave feminist.
I was right there with you. I'm like, what does that mean?
Is that a real term?
Is
it? So what is a third wave feminist?
It's where you're reclaiming your body and sexuality to get what you want and to, like, you view that as an asset.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's been a while since I've...
Hence the words you learned.
Yes.
I don't think Karen has the capacity to... keep a secret. I mean, because she's
brainwashed.
She just vomits up the truth. It's which whatever. So I don't think she would have any.
Karen transcends all these things. Right? She's just her own.
It's just she. It's impossible for her to not just say it straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I'd say about my character is I care more than I let on, and I want people to like me. And I think that that's true about me as a human. Is it hot in here?
It is. And we like you. Me especially.
Thank you so much. Yeah. They don't care for me.
So, watching the show. Now, obviously, you guys care about your own characters. But if you weren't on the show, what storyline or what character would be the one that you'd be like, that is awesome?
Ooh. Well, everything Karen says is hilarious. So
you want to be Karen. Like, yeah. That's the storyline that speaks to you.
And that's why last night's episode was so fun for me, because it's the first time I've been, like, sort of strong and not a follower, and I loved it.
Flipping that spear around, you were hilarious.
Also, being a jerk like Will Greenberg's character
That's what I was going to get.
Yeah.
There's something really refreshing about a character that is just nakedly self-obsessed and you know, just totally out for number one. And Will is so good at
that character.
It's
crazy.
He plays Todd on the show, if you're... Yeah, so everyone likes a good villain, and he's a great villain.
I'd like to maybe be Chet, just be high all the time and not worry about a thing.
Yeah.
He's just got no worries.
He could literally say anything. He veers so far from this script, and only George Basil can pull that off.
Yep.
Like, he could say whatever he wants. And they're like, that is a George. Yeah.
And George would just, it'd be like, yeah, sound speed, camera's rolling, and he just, he's over there. And then he just strolls in the scene and just eventually hits it and says what he's, you know, but it's like, it's hysterical.
Yeah.
You're like, where's George? Why isn't he here? We're rolling.
I think in episode two, we had to be in a very, like, highly choreographed, like, pyramid. We all had to be, like, in windows, and it was very important that we all stayed still, and he kept moving, and right over my shoulder, he goes, what scene is this? This is when the car pulls up, and I could not stop laughing. Is this when the car pulls up? It's so crazy.
He's so funny.
And all of you, well, all three of you at least, have a background, right, in improv. So does most of the cast as well? Like, do you feel like you just try to, you know, roll with each other, cars pulling up, wandering into set?
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody has a comedy background, right?
Yeah. I mean. Yeah. Like, Brian Sacca and Will Greenberg, they met at the Aspen Comedy Festival. Like, many, like, the last one they ever had. And they were both in sketch groups and did very well there. I'm trying to think. Yeah, like, everyone. Asif does a... I wanted to say shit ton, and I just said
you
it.
You just said it.
He tours all over the country doing stand-up, Reese Darby, all over the... Yeah, so...
Yeah.
And then I know Allie's in a bunch of comedy classes, too. Like, everyone. Yeah.
So do you try to throw each other purposely?
No.
Just in fun runs.
Yes.
They give us fun runs. Uh-huh. So we do it how it's supposed to be, and they give us, you know, whatever they changes, and then they're like, just have fun. And then that gets pretty... crazy. What?
What?
When Brooke is giving a fun run.
I didn't mean that.
You meant it.
I did not mean that.
You goddamn well meant it.
I did not mean that.
So what happens?
I was like, we do fun runs with each other. But yes, okay, here it comes.
When most people are given a fun run, they will...
It ends.
Change the inflection of a line. They will, usually they loosen up, maybe they'll throw in one ad-lib line or something like that. When you give Brooke Dillman a fun run, you get a volcano of rage directed at everyone for minutes. And it's totally unusable. We know it's unusable as soon as she begins. And they all start the same. They all start with, listen up, you fuckers! And they go on, and they get darker, and they're hateful.
Yeah,
very hateful.
Yeah, it does, but you all are just making me so angry. Why? I need to let it out.
It's interesting, because Brooke is such a joy.
Yeah.
And she really is such a joy.
She's literally everyone's favorite. Everyone's
loveliest
freaking
people.
Favorite.
But I think it's like in Vino Veritas, I think it's like... You see the real Brooke in the fun run.
You do. I do. It is. It's like...
She really has a darkness
about her.
Listen
up, you fuckers. Well, yeah. It happened so many different times. On the beach. I can't say.
And it's like when they give her a fun run, everybody on set, like, they're still rolling, but everyone else is like, okay, we're...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They called lunch.
She's still ranting. And
I started one, and Zach went, I smell a fun run. Like, as it got, it just like, and I'm like, you better... fucking believe you smell a fun run.
That's but how we'll close. We're going to close with a fun run. This whole interview is a fun run, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Is that time? Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all.
I'll just start saying the F word repeatedly and berating you.
It's so funny because she's got, like, the sweetest face and the kindest eyes. Oh. And then hearing her berate everyone.
And the racial slurs that come out of her.
Now, how dare you? Not true. NT, not true.
So you guys clearly have a lot of fun with each other and a lot of fun on set. Yes. And especially, like, being gone 2.5 months, like, you really are bonded, I would presume, with each other. Now, the creators of the show, this was, like, their first outing, right? Mm-hmm. Their first pitch, Justin and Jordan Shipley, it was like, hey, we have an idea, and bam, next thing they knew, they're making a show. Mm-hmm. So have you found benefits or drawbacks even to working with two creators, writers, producers who have, like, this is their first outing? Because I think there are some great benefits to that.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of benefits because they don't, and this is meant as a compliment, but they don't know any better than to ask for, like, unreasonable things.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been grinded through the system, so they'll be like, why can't we shoot this on a cruise ship? Like, why can't we have, you know, a plane crash through the jungle and destroy somebody here? Like,
and have a nose of a plane be, like, smoosh the guy who should have been our protagonist in the, like, first episode.
They also, though, they're incredibly gifted and have such an incredible understanding of you know, story and of comedy and of genre. Yeah. So they know the rules that they're breaking. They're not just, like, little idiots that are just kind of typing, like, you know. They're really, really perfect for this show.
Yeah.
I love working with them.
Hilarious. They're the greatest.
It's funny because I heard that when they wrote the script, their manager, who's also one of the producers on the show, he just had these two baby boys. They, one of them was fresh out of college and was bagging groceries at Trader Joe's. And the other was a PA that he worked with previously. And he told them that he wanted to staff them on a show and sort of write something as a team that was unproducible. And then he would use it as a writing sample. And then it got in the hands of TBS and they were like, holy shit, we found gold! Yeah. They were just basically pushed into a role that you'd normally take 25 years to get into. But they know that because they're, like, sweet Kansas City boys, and they're like, we're just a bunch of idiots. They did not let it go to their heads, but they do know what they want, so it's pretty great.
They've got a really great career ahead of them, and once they stop doing cocaine, they're going to be unstoppable. Really rooting for them.
Now,
move on to heroin.
Now, the big thing with the show is, of course, the whole premise that there is an airplane wreck. Mm-hmm. Now, when you first started telling people about the show, when you were cast, it was going to be coming out on TBS, when you started to describe it, what were people's reactions? Like, your friends, your family, when you said, hey, I'm on this new show?
Everybody I talked to would be like, oh, it's like, like a Lost spoof, and that would drive me crazy because it's like, no, it's not a spoof.
You haven't seen it.
Yeah, I say it's like Lord of the Flies, but instead of children, it's morons. I mean, Lost doesn't have the monopoly on you know, stranded on a tropical island.
Yeah, plane crashes. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I mean. I just
Look how mad you are at Lost. Let it out, Zach.
It's okay.
I feel like you need to take it up with the creators. Because the creators describe it that way as like the 12 people.
That's the cocaine talking. They don't mean that.
Now, Lotus Airlines is the fictional airline that crashed. Mm-hmm. And we were talking earlier that they actually have a Twitter account and post some really funny things. Have you guys, since doing the show, had any issues with getting on planes?
Well, here's something. I'm from Kansas City as well.
That's why she got the
Shipleys
job.
Are. Yeah, we all
City
stick
Mafia.
Together.
We've all seen Fargo, second season.
But we were going home for a trip home for a family reunion, and we're on, you know, and Southwest Airlines is one of the only direct flights from LA to Kansas City. So I'm sitting there with my family, and all of a sudden I look up and I'm like, that looks like Jordan Shipley. What? Getting on the plane. And it was. They were going home to a family reunion. But anytime that, like, they got on the plane, and I'm like, uh-oh, that'd be a good news item we went down. You know, it's like I get nervous when I'm with you guys on a plane. I do.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, they serves us right. We're making fun of plane crashes. Woo! Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. That's my
Thank you for dark.
Oh,
thank you for including the detail about how you were on a plane with someone you knew.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
these,
it's like, what are we doing?
Absolutely enraptured with my story. It was a great story. The Shipleys
like
come on a plane.
Abe Simpson over here telling us about.
I didn't know they
about.
Were going to be. Please, do they type in? Can they type in and say what great story? It's a nice story.
They can. They won't.
Like a little sound blob for our sound box, you know, going up. Whoop.
Yeah.
It makes me think of the Bams and the Pals on Batman. That's what I was trying to think of, but sound box is what I came out with. So, Jessica.
I'm sorry for you.
How come?
Because that's what it is. I tell such great stories that you're like, God, if I could just tell a story.
Yeah, God, if only I ran yourself. Into someone I knew in a plane, then people would listen to me.
Well, it had to do with the question, did it not?
It did. Yeah. And with the second season of the show now, just starting out, have you guys actually been recognized, in particular on an airplane, but have you been recognized and had like some funny fan encounters with people who are very, like, sometimes fans are very convinced that things actually happen.
Yeah.
Right? They're convinced that you've really been on a plane crash or something like that.
Our first day in Fiji, when we were all having breakfast, a woman, because we were all having it together, we were like so excited to be there, and a woman was like, are you the cast of Wrecked? Oh my God, we love that show. And I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing. But yeah, I don't think anyone recognizes us ever.
So we were staying at the resort. A woman, an American couple was there on their honeymoon, and I was swimming in the pool, and she peed in the pool, like, right in front of where I was. So I swam through her pee, and I know she peed because she was talking about it. I couldn't hear her because I was swimming. My girlfriend overheard her talking about how she was peeing right then. And I was incensed, as you would be if someone urinated on you. And they were there for, like, another 10 days, and I kept staring daggers at them. And they kept staring back at me, and I was like, I just hated them so much. I would always stare at them and, like, just shoot them the dirtiest looks. And then I found out that they were the biggest Wrecked fans in the whole world. And they were looking at me, I think, because they love Wrecked.
Oh,
and I'm, like,
God.
Giving them the meanest look I can give anyone. Just, like,
like you
talking.
Do me when I tell a story.
Yes, like that.
If they had tried to tell a story, they would have been in for it.
Yeah.
I think
I would rather be peed on than have someone tell me a boring story.
Okay. Here we go.
So hilarious.
Doesn't mean pee on.
I would say we're more recognizable as a group because we are very. It's like, why are those people hanging out? We all seem very different. So
it's like
right.
Right. Yeah. How do they? Well, Asif and I, when we go places together, it's like we always laugh. We're like, what do people think this relationship is, you know, this well,
like we're on a plane together.
Yeah Well, we went out to another march out for the travel ban.
Oh,
we went out and our Lyft driver
and
we're like, I wonder what he thinks, like, why are we hanging out together? It's like he could be my son, you know. It's like, but
oh my God.
Anyway, oh God, that just went dead.
No!
I was just waiting to see. I was thinking he could be your son or many other things.
Yeah.
Not just your son. Yeah.
Yeah. Ho. With the stories
like
I tell.
Like her dad? I don't get it.
Like her dad, just like that. That's what I meant.
Right, right.
I mean, her mom sent the Easter basket. I thought her dad was visiting, you know. So your Easter basket never made it to you.
Never made it.
Comic-Con is coming up. Next month.
Yes.
And there's some exciting stuff happening. You guys have, like, this Wrecked Island, right? Like, big excitement. So, are you guys excited? Are you going to officially be there?
I don't know.
Is that officially announced?
We haven't heard. Even the man who should
know. Yes, we will. You've heard it here first. We're going to be doing a panel.
I'm going
be
no
there,
matter what.
Cast of Wrecked. We'll see you in San Diego.
This Wrecked Island is awesome, and they started it off and around L.A., and then they're just basically dragging it, they're tugging it all the way down to San Diego.
It's floating down the Pacific
and
Ocean.
It's awesome and fun, and Brookie and I already broke the S, but there's so it's just from TB, not TBS.
Tell them how you broke it.
We were having a twerk off, and the S fell off.
An upside down twerk off, and I said, this will not hold.
And I said, it'll hold, just have faith.
And I went up in my handstand, and immediately it blew out.
This wasn't like a standard twerk off. It was upside down handstand twerk off.
I was going to clarify how the upside down part came in.
Yeah. We're handstanding and moving our butts.
Got it. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Now, the island is actually a boat that's being dragged down.
Yes. Right?
And is it like a big, like, yacht type boat? Or we're talking
it's like a tanker.
Yeah.
It's like a barge.
There it is. Yeah.
Two basketball courts stuck together, and then it's just, you know, he's got a mechanical bore and a palm tree you can climb up with.
Some Zika. We put some Zika.
Yeah. You've got to make it realistic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's our second AD's there digging sea urchins out of her feet, making margaritas.
Yes.
You know, that sort of thing.
That sort of thing. Well, as we wrap up, I know everyone can see you guys, hopefully, at Comic-Con. And if not, they can at least see the barge. Go on, climb, get some coconuts, get some Zika. So as we wrap up, thank you guys so much. This has been great fun hearing some stories. Season 2 is going on right now, so we'll just go down the line. Where can everyone find you guys on social media? Keep up with your dogs or anything else.
Twitter, I'm Megalomaniac, and Instagram, I'm Jess Marlowe.
Twitter at Z Kreger, and she is at Ernie Fat Dog.
Thank you, Ad. Well, because I can't tell my own stories. Is that what it is?
And I'm Zoe Hewitt. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Real Zoe Hewitt. Thanks so much for joining us on AfterBuzz TV. Take care. Bye bye.
But yeah, that was it.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.